Hey, Ranger fans, before we get to the show, one quick programming note. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, or Islanders, and you want to listen to all of our original podcasts all in one place, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. However, if you want to listen to just this podcast week by week, search SNY.TV Rangers, hit subscribe, and you'll be all set. And of course, as always, make sure to rate and review our channel. Let's get to the show.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. Opening night against the Islanders at the Garden, 1 week away. The roster getting trimmed by the day. I'm joined here in the studio by Nick Lacazzi and Adam Rotter. Adam, why don't you get Ranger fans up to speed on where the roster looks right now?
Well, they've got 18 forwards, 8 defensemen, and 3 goalies. I think we can all safely assume Magnus Hellberg is going down to Hartford.
Agreed.
Up front, there's Josh Joris, who is playing tonight. Bo Nieves, who is playing tonight, but is probably being sent to Hartford. Oscar Lindberg is hurt. He's not starting until November. And Gabriel Fontaine, a draft pick, is apparently also hurt and rehabbing with the team.
Nick, Brady Shea, who we all thought was a lock for a long time to make this blue line here, looks like he may go to Hartford. He doesn't have to clear waivers. It's a very disappointing training camp so far for Brady Shea.
Yeah, Brady, he didn't step up on the Rangers. I mean, God, Brian, they need him in a top four role. Never mind making the team and in that lineup. Brady Shea had to establish himself and establish himself fast this year. He was the guy who, while he wasn't going to match Keith Yandel's offensive production, you hoped at least he could eat his defensive minutes and maybe even be an upgrade defensively from Keith Yandel as far as scoring chances against and turnovers and that type of thing. But he just didn't bring it this camp. I don't know if I'm ready to send him down or if you just keep throwing him into the fire, because the rest of the defense hasn't looked at that much better. And for an issue that you knew was a problem coming into training camp, they haven't done much to alleviate any type of the fear that just looking at the roster instills in you, really.
Adam, I think a big thing here as far as Brady Shea is concerned as well is the camp that Adam Clendenning has had. I thought he was going to be that seventh or eighth guy, gets called up from Hartford over the course of the season, steps in with an injury or whatever else. But Adam Clendenning is at a very strong training camp.
I agree. I agree with everything you just said, Brian, and I think Adam Clendenning is going to make the team.
Yeah, I do too.
Probably over Brady Shea, but just because Shea doesn't need to clear waivers. Like, I don't think that there's anything more to it. I think that the Rangers could start the season with Clendenning in the top six, McElrath as the seventh defenseman. You keep Shea down for a couple of weeks, and you see what happens with McElrath or Clendenning. And if neither of them are earning a job, I think we all assume that Brady Shea is going to be back. He is an NHL defenseman.
I would agree with that, yes.
You know, this is similar. This could be similar to Chris Kreider, who played 3 games in Hartford a couple years ago before he came up and hasn't been down since. So going down to Hartford because there's flexibility there for Shea isn't the worst thing in the world.
It's unbelievably frustrating that Dylan McElrath can't take that next step, Nick, because you would think between the camp that Shea has had and, like we said, Clendenning would probably be that seventh or eighth guy. The fact that Dylan McElrath still can't find a way to crack this top six, maybe it's not AV, maybe it's McElrath.
At this point, it's either you got to throw him into the fire or you got to move on.
Yeah.
He has to play or trade him and get a third round pick or another first round pick who's floundering, if you will, for lack of a better word. But the in and out of the lineup. And another tough decision is if, like you guys said, Clendenning looks like he should play, because
right,
he looks like the Rangers have no one really to run a power play. McDonough is serviceable, but
you can't ask him to do everything.
That's exactly. And you don't want him to. Let him focus on everything else, right, and not the power play. So if that means Clendenning's in the lineup, then it comes down to Dan Girardi and Dylan McElrath again. And you have to imagine that they're going to give Girardi the benefit of the doubt for 8 to 10 games to start the season. And that means that McElrath's riding the pine again. Now, Nick Holden hasn't done anything to jump off the screen to me.
Right.
That's kind of his game. We'll see where he ends up. It wouldn't shock me to see them carry 8 defensemen and keep Shea up and maybe holding a McElrath or 7 and 8. And those guys rotate in and McElrath will play when Clendenning, if he doesn't have the power play going early, that's it. Or if Girardi's struggling, that's it for him. But no one stepped up. No one grabbed the bull by
very
the horns here. And really, the one that
except
did.
Except for Clendenning.
Yeah, and Clendenning, he was the one who you were like, all right, if you have to cut him, he gets claimed. It is what it is. He was a training camp body. But Clendenning's the only one who said, there's jobs open here and it's mine now. And I think you got to give him a shot. And you really, when you give him the shot, he's got to run the first power play.
I'll say this. Nick Holden in the top four, possibly even playing with McDonough on the right side on the top pair.
Wow, how about that?
Because I think I like Kevin Klein a lot. He's not a top pair defenseman. He's a guy who can play the top pair for five or six games if guys are hurt. But he's much better in a second pair role. And obviously Dan Girardi is not capable of playing top minutes anymore. Nick Holden has played big minutes before, albeit on the left side, but he says he's comfortable on the right side. He's looked okay. I think he's serviceable. I think that he can eat up those minutes alongside Ryan McDonough.
Adam, let's get back to McElrath for a second. He asked to clear waivers if the Rangers want to send him to Hartford. Do they risk losing him for nothing, or do they keep him around just because they don't want to lose him for nothing?
I think that they're going to keep him around, and I think that because over the course of the year you get injuries, you need to bring guys in and out. I think McElrath will still get 30 to 40 games this year, but that was the plan last year. Get him 30 to 40 games, see if he can play. We all saw he can play, but now in a different sort of role, 30 to 40 games, can you really play? Can you really be an NHL defenseman? I think that we'll get that. We'll find out at some point this year. And if the answer is no, I think that they could waive him or possibly look to trade him just to give him a new opportunity.
Having Bukaboom here, I think, helps. The Rangers need that type of defenseman.
They really do.
They need somebody to
instill
fear.
But if he's not fast enough, Nick, you can't just throw him in there because he's a physical presence.
You're right.
Josh Bailey turned him inside out Tuesday night at the Barclays Center.
He
made
a nice move. He got to the outside. He didn't create that golden of a scoring
opportunity. But if Josh Bailey's turning you inside out, what's Sidney Crosby going to do?
Yeah, you're right.
If you don't have the foot speed, you can't play at this level.
I think you got to – If you're asking me, I think you have to run him out there. I think you have to see what McElrath can do, and I'd rather watch him flounder for 12 games. You decide that that's it, we're done, than the in and the out and the up and the down again and yo-yoing him in and out of the lineup. Let the kid play. He proved that he could play. Now let's see if he could play consistently, because there's nobody else in the on the roster or in the system like him. He's the only one.
And he has the big shot, too.
So let's find out what
you
have.
If he's going to be here, I'm with you, Nick. He has to play. He can't flounder in the press box and just watch game after game. It's not fair to him.
It's not.
I mean, if you don't think he's in your long-term plans, try to find him a new home. But on the flip side of that, GMs are going to know that they can get him on waivers for nothing. Yeah. So what do you do?
There's no real value in McElrath if you're trading him. It's maybe a fifth-round pick,
right?
Or in reality, he's the second or third piece in a different deal that you're making. McElrath at 24 in his sixth or seventh season isn't going to get you the high draft pick he could have maybe gotten you at one point. But that, what you're saying, I agree and disagree with that. If he's here, he has to play. I think that's why I'm kind of thinking Shea's going to go down. So
right.
You can, you know, you can alternate Clendenning and McElrath on a every two-game basis. See if one
will
of them.
Will AB do that, though?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think that they bring different things. Clendenning obviously brings offense, and in theory, McElrath brings defense. So you can kind of see that if Clendenning's really working the power play and it's going well, you'll stick with him, albeit that he's possibly like a Dan Boyle and he can't play defense. But if he's not running the power play, then you give Dylan McElrath a chance. And if neither of them, you know, really take the bull by the horns, like we've been saying, Brady Shea's ready. We know he can play.
It'll be interesting, Adam. And if you said if they put Holden on the right side, then I don't think Shea goes down, because then they're short a left side defenseman. So I would be surprised if Shea goes down. I think Holden has to be on the left, because otherwise, again, you only have two left-handed defensemen if Holden's playing on the right. But like you said, it's Clendenning's there for the offense, Mac's there for the defense. And if Clendenning's scoring, that's going to keep McElrath out of the lineup. And then it comes down to McElrath and Girardi, and that's going to be another tough decision. And we talk about all these defensemen, and we haven't even mentioned Girardi and Staal, and
yeah,
a lot rests on those shoulders.
It sure does.
And I don't know what they have left in the tank.
Adam, are you comfortable with Holden playing top pair minutes with Ryan McDonough?
I think so. He played top pair minutes, you know, in Colorado, which is not exactly – which hasn't been the greatest defensive team, and he played with Tyson Barry. But I think that he can play top pair minutes, and I do think that Mark Staal has supposedly had some sort of great training camp, and I think that he's not a concern.
Jim Cerny, Brian Compton, and Nick Lacazzi here. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm pretty well. We were just discussing Nick Holden. We seem to think that he might get top pair minutes playing alongside Ryan McDonough. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a distinct possibility. AV is very intrigued by playing Holden on the right side. something that Holden has done in his career. He's a lefty shot, but he's played both sides, and he's done it, you know, equally as well. And he says that, you know, he's as comfortable on the right side as the left. I think there's a chance that he does get a look at some point. I'm not sure they start the season that way, but they might, based on the fact that I thought Brady Shea was going to have that spot. I thought they were going to really give Brady the opportunity, but he hasn't seized it in training camp in the preseason. So then you go down the line on the right side, who becomes the next logical guy, assuming that Dan Girardi is no longer that top pair guy on the right side. Yeah, I think Holden could get a whack at it. You know, he was playing 22 minutes a night a year ago in Colorado, so you know, he's used to that responsibility.
Jim, there's eight defensemen still on the roster, and realistically that could be how they head into the season. Has anybody outside of McDonough stood out and looked like they could be reliable to you? Did Stoll or Girardi, do they look like they turned a corner from last year? Obviously, you said Shea didn't really grab it. Does McElrath look like he could fit into the top six?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I'll start with the point you made about eight defensemen are remaining, and maybe they start that way. Alain Vigneault's preference, and he stated this all the way back when he first arrived after coming over from Vancouver, he stated his preference is to have eight defensemen on the roster. It just makes practice easier, if you will, because you have an even-numbered group of defensemen, so you have, you know, four pairs to practice with. They've never been able to really have that because they've always been so tight against the cap. They could pull it off this time, but you could also argue that they may have to carry, 14 forwards because, you know, there's such a good battle up front as well. So, you know, for the first time in really a long time, they have some really, really big decisions to make before opening night on this roster. So that's going off a little bit on a tangent. But circling back to your question, I think Mark Stahl's had a good preseason. He certainly, at least, again, it's only preseason games, but he seems to be more on track to the player that we expect Mark Stahl to be. I think he's made good decisions in his own end. I think he's been good in front of his own net so far in the preseason. He's been, you know, a little bit physical in front of the net. He just, you know, he tells you that he's healthy, he's feeling better. Alain Vigneault thinks he's playing much better. But that's probably in part that he's healthy. He had that entire summer heal up. And you would think that Stahl could recover better and maybe, take advantage of the longer summer to get healthy better than Girardi, just based on the mileage underneath him and the fact that he's younger. You know, Stahl's still only, you know, at 29 years old. Girardi's already a few years older and has a lot more mileage underneath him. So to me, out of those two, Stahl, I think, has played well. I don't think Girardi's had a very good preseason. Kevin Klein just seems like a veteran getting ready for the season. To me, he really hasn't stood out one way or the other. Brady Shea has not been as good as I expected right. So far in the preseason. I think McElrath has had a good preseason. And then the guy who certainly stands out among the entire group is the big surprise, I think, is Adam Clendenning, who has quarterbacked the power play. I think he's proved himself to be a real good puck mover. And the surprise here might be that he's been pretty good in his own end as well.
Jim, I feel like I sit in this chair every October and I say it's make or break for Dylan McElrath. You mentioned that you think he's had a pretty good camp. I just don't get the sense that AV is crazy about him. We all know what happened at the end of last year, Game 5 against the Penguins. Rafael Diaz called up from Hartford. So McElrath sits and Dan Boyle sat as well, I believe, if memory serves. What does McElrath have to do to become a part of this top six long term?
You know, the thing that AV is not comfortable with is Dylan's not a great skater.
Right.
And skating doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a Brady Shea or a Ryan McDonough, who are certainly above average skaters at their position and guys that, you know, if need be, could lead a rush or what have you. You don't necessarily have to have that. The issue with Dylan is that even with the way he moves deep in his own end, moving from the corner to the front of the net, from the front of the net to behind the net, back to the front of the net. Those things, the coach believes that, you know, he's a step slow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a problem in AV's eyes. There's no question, I agree with you. You know, I don't think he shows a lot of trust in the kid. There's no doubt in my mind that Dylan should have played a little bit more last year,
yep.
relieved some of the pressure on Dan Boyle and Dan Girardi on that right side. But the coach just did not believe in Dylan enough. I think he played pretty well. And the one thing that surprises me that AV never talks about, and I've asked him about this several times, he loves that defenseman that makes the smart, quick, accurate pass out of his own zone up to the forwards, and boom, starts that rush going the other way. I'd argue in the 32 games that Dylan McElrath played last year, he was as good as any
right.
other defenseman in that part of the game.
Totally agree.
You know, he knows his limitations. He's not looking to lug that puck out of the zone. And not only, you know, does he know the limitation, but he excels in what AV wants. You know, those passes are good, crisp, and on the target much, much more often than not with Dylan.
Just to follow that up real quick, Jim, so do you think the Rangers would risk sending him through waivers to get to Hartford, or will they keep him around just so they don't lose him for nothing?
Yeah, I'd be very, very, very surprised if they sent him to Hartford. I think he's here.
Okay.
And I think an argument could be made because of Brady's kind of so-so. I don't think he's had a bad camp or
right.
a bad preseason. I think it's just been underwhelming. And it hasn't been to the level that the Rangers expected from him. I could make the argument that opening night, Dylan could be in the starting lineup.
Wow, okay.
He could be one of the top six. However, long term, I just don't see that happening unless Dan Girardi really breaks
right.
down or something of that nature. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Dylan in a top six on opening night and Brady's watching from the press box. But when I look at the big picture over the course of the season and all things being equal, guys stay healthy, you know, I think Brady's going to play a lot more hockey than Dylan will this season.
It clearly seems like this defense can go a whole lot of different yeah. ways. I want to switch gears here to the forwards quick, Jim. The bottom of the roster, there are some tough decisions. When you look at it, realistically, it looks like there's three spots open, two on the fourth line and the extra forward if you assume that Fast is on the roster. For Peary, Glass, Grabner, Gerby, and Juris. And I think with the money they played Grabner, he's here. And with the way that Peary played, does he have a realistic shot of getting the fourth-line center job, or is he bumping VC or Buchnevich from potentially the opening day roster?
Yeah, it's great question. And, you know, there's still one more preseason game to play. Peary is scheduled to play on the wing this time today. Tonight against the Flyers. So that, you know, now he's had looks, multiple looks in the middle and on the wing, playing with a variety of different forwards. I think Peary made the team. I don't see how he can't
right.
make the team. You know, he's among the NHL leaders in preseason goals scored and points recorded. And if nothing else, you'd have to consider him being a fourth-line player if you want to keep the kids up in the top nine. You have to consider him at minimum being a fourth-line player and then being a power play specialist because, you know, the Rangers, we know for years, you know, have struggled on the man advantage. And now you actually have a guy who's willing to shoot the puck, a shoot-first guy. You know,
yep.
he will tell you that he is a shoot-first guy. He's not looking to pass. He is looking to snipe. And the Rangers really have lacked that kind of trigger man, you know, on the power play in recent years. They have so many guys that want to pass, and so many times they overpass without somebody wanting to shoot it. He wants to shoot it, and he's been a proven guy, 22 goals a couple years ago with Florida in just 49 games. Assuming he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a big contributor this season. The one guy, you mentioned VC and Buchnevich, the one guy I'd wonder, again, looking at, let's say, the first quarter of the season, the guy that Peary may be fighting for playing time with along the way is Buchnevich.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you can tell there's a world of talent there. But, you know, physically and getting used to the North American game and, you know, physically building himself up to the rigors of an 82-game NHL schedule, you know, is it going to be, you know, too much too soon for the kid? Yeah, he has played in the KHL, a men's league, a great men's league in Russia, and certainly had success there. But I just see that might be the guy Peary is going to be fighting for playing time with. The question about him on the fourth line really is a great question for Alain Vigneault, because Vigneault has already stated several times in training camp that he would like to have what he had when they went to the Cup in 2014, three scoring lines, and then a fourth line that is really a defensive-minded fourth line. And if he sticks to that, and I'm not saying it's the right way to go, because, you know, we saw, you know, Pittsburgh, for example, last year, and several other teams where they really have more four faster skating, you know, kind of, you know, offensive type lines. But if he sticks to the three offensive lines and the one line that's really defensive, well, Peary's not really a defensive center or winger. So then you got to figure it out. Then it really does come down to, in my book, Buchnevich and Peary, and maybe throw Kevin Hayes in that mix too. You know, we'll see how long a leash that the coach has with Kevin Hayes this year.
A lot of decisions still to be made with a week to go. Jim, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Cerny worked for Blue Shirts United for a very long time. Now he's doing work with Blue Shirt Bulletin and the Hockey Writers. Check out his stuff on Twitter for sure. What do you guys think? Buchnevich? He's make the team? Yes? No? Hartford? What do you think?
I think Buchnevich makes the team. And I think what I would do with him is kind of give him an extended training camp for a couple of weeks, which is essentially meaning he's the 13th forward.
Yeah.
But he gets 2 weeks to work every single day with the assistant coaches to help him adjust. He gets to work with Antti Raanta, whoever the spare defenseman is. You just give him extra time to adjust because, I mean, the way that he's talked about and the way that he's treated, like, I don't think that he's really the full future of the franchise, but he's an enormous part of the franchise, and the Rangers need to make sure that they develop him properly, and I think that that's one way that they could help do this.
Yeah, they got to get this right for sure, just because they don't have a whole lot of prospects in the pipeline. Nick, the Islanders, next Thursday night, you like the fact that they're going to see those sweaters on opening night, bring out the intensity right away?
The Rangers are going to need to step their game up, because yeah, the Islanders have had their number, and the Rangers better figure it out quick. I would imagine Buchnevich plays opening night and they try Peary at center, because I don't know if Juris is going to be up to speed. And Jim was talking about the fourth line being a defensive line. If you get a fourth line that can score, I wonder if he takes Stepan and Nash and puts them together. And you don't want to say that he uses them as a checking line, but in important moments, if Nash isn't scoring as many goals this year, maybe that's the line that takes a big defensive draw for the Rangers. And Vigneault doesn't really go by tradition. He changes up his method, but there's just too many guys here that can play. Peary's got to play. Look, again, it's preseason. Peary leads the NHL in preseason goals. I mean, he's on the team and he has to play.
Adam, the Islanders, 30 games on FAN. How about that?
Good for them. It's nice that, you know, someone could actually hear him for the first time.
Wow.
In 20 years.
Oh, man. You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. Lineup decisions. We're going to speak with Andy Graziano from Point Blank this week. Subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Nick, one guy you've been very impressed with, one guy you've been very disappointed with over Rangers training camp.
Very impressed with Zibanejad.
Okay.
I think,
great
shockingly,
shot. Yep.
He's going to be able to make Rangers fans accept the loss of Derek Brassard much easier than I believe that they were going to. I think he's going to look very good on the power play. I hope they have somebody that can get him the puck and just let him fire away. Disappointed, I would say, Girardi. Not that he played terribly, but just that there wasn't a little extra oomph out of him, that he didn't
more time to
jump off
the
page, and you hope that the offseason helped out. I don't know if the positive thinking is going to have an effect there.
I would say Nathan Gerby's really impressed me. He's got a lot of speed.
Is he on the team?
I think he's on the team. I think he's on the fourth line. He might be the fourth line center, which is not great news for the Rangers because then they won't have a fourth line center. They'll have three wingers. He just has a lot of speed. He can bring a lot of things, and I think that he's a guy who's probably going to get hurt at some point, but you'll get 40 to 50 games out of him, and he'll be good. Disappointed, I'm going to say McElrath for all the things we covered. I kind of, you know, I was just hoping that – I didn't know if he would start the season in the top six, but I was hoping he'd make a better case for himself.
I'm going to say Adam Clendenning has surprised me a great deal over the course of these past few weeks. He can move the puck, which I didn't think he could at this level. So I think he's on the team, as we discussed. And disappointment, guys, for me, it's got to be Brady Shea. I mean, this opportunity was staring at him in the face for months. You know, Dan Boyle retired. He obviously wasn't coming back. We know McElrath's history with AV, whether or not he was going to be a part of this top six. This opportunity was here for Brady Shea, and he did not grab the bull by the horns.
He did not.
But he has tonight to do so. He's playing tonight, I believe, on the left side. So he'll have an opportunity. Clendenning will have another opportunity, and still McElrath.
A lot of decisions still to be made. Yeah. I mean, Gorton's got his work cut out for him. I would imagine that Glass is gone off the roster, right? Like, I think that's one of the easy cuts, but again, it makes it.
I don't understand why he's still here.
Yeah.
All of these bottom six forwards that they added over the past couple of months, Tanner Glass is probably the worst of all those guys. Why is he still here?
I think it may just be more of a courtesy thing. I think it's also that you know what you're getting with Tanner Glass.
Right.
So you know that if you plug
him
in.
That's the problem.
Yeah, but you know that he's at least capable of giving you some minutes. Whether they're good minutes or not, you know he can play in the NHL. So I think he's kind of a last resort option for the Rangers right now. Also, as you know, to hedge against, you know, some of the guys who have been injured, like Juris and Nieves, who haven't had a chance to play, because you still need guys to play.
Right, and we're about, a month from seeing Oscar Lindberg?
About. It should be mid to early.
And is he going to play when he's healthy?
Thing. I mean, him and Foss.
Remember, his October last year, man, he fell off a cliff.
It wouldn't shock me if the Rangers made a move for one of these guys, right? Especially if, like, Foss or Lindberg. I mean, you can't really trade Lindberg now, but if you can get a decent draft pick for one of them, we didn't even mention Fast. I mean, is he guaranteed a spot on the fourth line?
Absolutely. He is quite possibly the Rangers' best defensive forward.
I agree with that.
He is without a doubt on the team.
Well, I'm not saying he's not on the team, but I mean, Peary, if he's scoring, then you got a fourth line.
Brandon Peary is a one-dimensional player. You need somebody on that fourth line who could play both ends of the ice.
All right.
Fast has to make the team. Not only make the team, but play on the fourth line. Agreed?
Absolutely.
I don't think he's as big of a lock as you guys think he is. Oh, I think he's a very good. I think he's a good fourth line player. I don't think he brings enough to make him a cemented guy. It wouldn't disappoint me if he was moved in a deal for something.
I would say he is absolute 100 certainty a lock to be in the Rangers to start the season in the starting lineup on the fourth line, and I wouldn't be surprised if at time he sees time on the third line because Alain Vigneault really trusts him.
Totally agree. Islanders 1 week away, still a lot of decisions to be made. We'll get into further detail about that when we return, probably Monday or Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.